Welcome to Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a while now, our desire is that by the end of our time together, you can say that you've fallen more in love with Jesus and have a greater passion for Him and His purposes in the earth. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoy today's episode.
Well, hey, Passion and Purpose friends, we are talking today about don't miss Jesus. It's the week after Easter. And Jimmy, you got this phrase on your heart, so tell us a little bit about don't miss Jesus.
Yeah, you know, if I was to wrap up my whole life, and I'm getting a little teary here, is to think, where would I be if I had not responded to Jesus when he called my name?
Wow.
Where would I be? And honestly, I think I'd be dead physically because of my all or nothing lifestyle, and the things I was doing at the time would eventually have killed us one way or the other. But I think that ultimately that's the question for all of life, right? Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" When he entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the whole city was stirred and said, "Who is this man?" Right? So the whole world, whether they can articulate it or not, is asking that question, "Who is this man and what does that mean for my life?" And, you know, I just want to stay in the big picture here as we're talking about unity. We use these phrases, union, communion, and partnership. And I hope everybody's tired of hearing that. Like, I wanted to get so in your head that you'll never be able to get it out, even if it frustrates you. Union with God, communion with the saints, partnership with God's mission and God's will in our life. This is the totality of our faith. It's this union with the living God. But Jesus is the way to the union. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the centrality of the communion with others. And Jesus is the leader of the mission of God. So it says, after God spoke long ago in many prophets and in many ways, in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son, mm-hmm. who is the exact representation of his nature and the radiance of his glory. Wow. So again, as you're sitting here listening, I just want to take you through a story in Luke 24, the guys on the road to Emmaus, and just some commentary. And Zach, you and I were just talking about this. So I think this is really so helpful. So you've got the women who've seen the angels who have said he's risen. They went back, told the disciples. They didn't believe them, but Peter ran to the tomb. He came back, saw the empty tomb. He was marveling. And then it says there's a couple of the guys that were at the house that are now walking a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem, and they're musing over what could have happened to Jesus. He was such a great man. We thought maybe he was the Messiah. Everything about him was good. Just to be with him. Could you imagine just to be with Jesus? Like, there's certain people I like to just be with because they're of a good spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel goodness when you're with them. But everything about Jesus was perfect. Mm. That's just amazing. Yeah. Sinners were comfortable with him. Believers, Pharisees were uncomfortable with him because of his authenticity. Woo! All right, that's a whole other. All right, let me stay on track here. So they're walking on the road, and they're deliberating among themselves. And then it said, it says of this, so they converse and reason that, it says, they talked together of all these things would happen. So it was, verse 15 of Luke 24, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know who he was. Or in other ways, it says their eyes were blinded. Mm-hmm. So we talked about what blinds us from not seeing Jesus. Well, you have natural circumstances. We talked about in this context, they're walking west, so the sun's setting, and they may have been blinded literally physically a little bit. But just natural life. We get caught up in all the things I have to do. I have to eat, I have to sleep, I have to work, I have to do these things. The natural world keeps us from seeing Jesus when we're motoring our own lives. The scripture also says that the devil has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. So sometimes you've been frustrated trying to talk to somebody about Jesus and they're just like, zoop, blank stare. It's not just them, it's the devil has blinded their eyes. Right. That's why Jesus died on the cross, had victory over the devil. And then this third deal, there's in this context, there's emotional reasons they're not seeing Jesus. They're disappointed, they're fearful, they're discouraged. They're still musing on the past, what could have been. So there's an emotional wrangling going on, there's a natural distraction, and there's the spiritual blindness. But what I love about Jesus is that he literally comes alongside of us even when we don't see. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, Zach, you were talking the other day on our last podcast about Jesus coming to you on an airplane.
Yeah.
And where have you seen Jesus come to you when you didn't deserve it? Or you look back and you say, wow, Jesus actually was trying to speak to me and I didn't see him.
Yeah. And I can think of so many places in my life, but one of the things that, I don't know where I heard this, I'm sure it's from someone, I wish I could give them credit, but that the story of the Bible, the story of our lives, and the story of human history is not man searching for God,
yes,
but that it's God searching for man.
Yeah.
And Adam and Eve in the garden, they turn and go their own way. They right. choose their own path. They're walking away from the Lord. And the Lord and his loving kindness, his graciousness, his redemption is reaching out to them. And I think we see that in this story, the road to Emmaus. And I think this story, the road to Emmaus, is right. an encapsulation of the whole Bible
sure.
and the testimony of every human.
Right.
And I think those things that you said, the natural circumstances,
spiritual.
The spiritual mm-hmm. Warfare, and then emotional
right.
stuff. Man, I look at my own life and can see that in so many places. I think about in high school, there was a guy that was a mentor at our school that would come and would play basketball with us and spend all kinds of time with us. And he was a believer and he was reaching out to us, to my group of friends. Andy, shout out to you if you're listening. I love you very much. But I wasn't in a place to receive the message, but his reaching out to me was God's kindness through him reaching out to me. And that really prepared me for down the road. I was ready to hear him. And you had a situation similar like that
yeah.
In high school as well. So tell us,
yeah,
tell us that story.
Yeah, and I shared it this past Sunday, but I had a coach. By the time I was a junior in high school, we were drinking seven nights a week, messing around with drugs a little bit, and just our lives were a mess. And we had always played sports, and we had a big school, and this was our senior year. And they used to have spring training before the fall, and he had me number three on the depth chart, which means I was third string mm-hmm. after playing all my years. Mm-hmm. And I said, Coach, what's the deal? And he said to me, Cyber, you got a decision to make. You're going every place bad, and you're about to go over a cliff. And he said, if you don't wake up, you're not only not going to play for this team, you're not going to make it in life.
Mm-hmm.
You got a decision to make, son,
mm-hmm.
and you need to make it. And it was just a, you know, in God's mercy, I had just enough worldly ambition to want to play football or, you know, to be somebody that I took the whole summer, worked out like crazy, did everything coaches asked me, and got to play in every game mm-hmm. That year. I was started, so I got to be first string and all that. So at the end of the year, we win our last game, and we go to the locker room. And I grew up in Southeast Texas, so guys didn't cry.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't know anybody that cried, right? and we fought, and we did all kinds of stuff, reasons you should have cried, but we didn't. And so we get to the last game, and we're just celebrating and all that, and that coach comes over to me and just says, great job. I get a little teary even now. It's really
yeah.
interesting. Like,
yeah.
what, how many years ago was that?
Right.
40 years ago. And he came to me and he said, you know, I'm so proud of you.
Mm.
Way to go. You did it. You not only made that decision, but what a great year. I'm so proud of you. And I just bawled. I mean, I just cried and I said, thank you for believing in me.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving me a chance.
Yeah.
thank you for giving me a chance. And he hugged me and he said, of course, it's my joy. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't realize till later as I became a believer was that he was a believer. And somewhere by the Holy Spirit, he had been motivated to see a kid that was about to throw his life away and challenge him the best way he knew how. I mean, I'm not sure that how in-depth his faith was, but it was motivated out of a love for God and the Spirit of God being able to move through him. And when I think about that story, that was about the same time I became a believer, and God with skin on it. Like in that moment, I could see God saying, look, I'm with you. Yeah. You're not alone. Until I was able to see Jesus myself, mm-hmm. which would be in those coming days. So I call them glimpses of glory,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So back to our text.
Let me jump in before we do there. So just as you're talking this, I'm thinking about all the people listening who are teachers, mm-hmm. who are coaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are mentors in some way, you're a boss at work to right. teenagers, yeah. young people. And I just want to say, God has placed you there for a purpose to yeah. be that God with skin on moment yeah. for a kid
right.
who may or may not be ready to receive that. But I just want to stop for just a minute, if it's okay with you.
Yeah.
And we pray for you right
yeah.
now
yeah.
that God would strengthen you today for mm-hmm. your assignment, because you have such an important
sure.
assignment.
Can we
do that?
Please. Yeah.
So Lord, pray just right now for every parent, every teacher, every coach, every mentor, every youth worker, Lord, that loves you and you've placed in their position. Lord, we're asking right now that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit, that you would give them endurance, encourage, you'd allow them to see what you see in these kids, Lord, and move beyond the externals, move beyond the outward appearance, let them see what's in the heart, and let them speak, even as modern day prophets, to mm-hmm. Speak to these kids and call them into mm-hmm. their destiny in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, you know, I really feel led, and I love, because it's our podcast, we can do whatever we want. Hopefully what the Holy Spirit's leading to do. But I think we should shift this title to not don't miss Jesus, don't miss being Jesus.
Mm.
Don't okay. miss being okay. Jesus to somebody else.
Okay. Yeah.
Because this, so many stories begin to now click in my head.
Yes.
There was a 5-year-old girl that we picked up for a Bible club. We used to go around the neighborhood and pick kids up in a van. I guess back in the days you could do that. I'm not sure you could do it now. But we would pick kids up, and this girl's name was Shantae. And I've known a lot of fiery, strong-willed kids, but mm-hmm. she topped them all.
Okay.
And we had this little system, you know, 3 strikes and you get taken home. She got taken home more than she survived and for 5 years.
Wow.
And it was like, man, are we going to go pick up Shantae? Hey, let's just do it. We got to give her single mom. We just pick her up. Let's just pray she makes it through today.
Yeah.
And so at about 10 years old, they moved, as a lot of times people in the transitional neighborhoods do. And I had not seen her. So fast forward about 15 years, and I'm walking into a convenience store, and there's this, you know, put together, just sharp, young African-American woman at the counter. Hello, sir. How are you? Said, hi, how are you? And I buy water, whatever I'm doing. And I walk over there. She said, Jimmy, is that you? And I said, yeah, you know, it's me. You know, I'm a pastor in town, so it could be anybody that came to the church. And I said, I'm so sorry I didn't get your name. And she said, I'm Shantae.
Wow.
And it didn't register. She said, you remember, back here at Bible Club, Shantae. And I said, Shantae, no way. And I said, man, what in the world? How are you doing?
Yeah.
And she said, well, you know, we lost track after I was about 10 or 11 years old. And I got in some trouble, had a baby at 13. And then she said, but then in the midst of that, my grandma was praying for me, loving me, taking me to another church here in town. And I just realized, hey, I got to get it together for the sake of my kid. Mm. And she said, man, I've been walking with Jesus for 8 or 9 years. And she said, there's not a day goes by I don't think about you and Miss Laura. picking me up. And I know you guys, I caused you guys so much grief, so much pain. We joked about the time that she was screaming, holding onto the van seat, wouldn't get out. And we had to have her mom and three other people pry her off of the seat to get her out. But I just thought again, you know, there's no regrets when I've done the simplest thing to maybe greater lengths to be Jesus to somebody else. I think so many times we live in our own heads and the enemy makes sure to minimize us. You don't matter, or your sin has disqualified you, or you don't have anything to give, or nobody really wants to hear anything you have to say.
Yeah.
And my experience, definitely my experience is there are people everywhere all day who need an encouraging word, need a smile, need a prayer, need a word from God, mm-hmm. need somebody to pick them up, help them out, mm-hmm. whatever the situation is. And when we do that, in one way, it actually gives us strength to overcome our own personal issues. So there's this, so hang with me on this. There's this weird paradox of the scripture that when we give our life away, we find our life. Mm-hmm. When we look to others' interest, it actually gives us power to overcome our own sin.
Yeah.
But when we sit around and try to be better, we find ourselves falling over and over and over again. But when we get our eyes on other people and what God's doing, that's called abiding. And I find that it's not this anxious doing, but it gives me more strength and victory when I see the gospel work in somebody else. Mm-hmm. I'll give another example. There was this, when Daniel was a little guy and then into his high school years, he played a lot of golf. He ended up playing in college. But to do that, we were at a lot of golf tournaments mm-hmm. and we were walking around all the time. And our deal is if we're going to do golf, we're going to do it for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So we would pray ahead of time for the people we were playing with. We'd pray for the parents. We'd look for open windows. And, you know, if you know anything about golf, it's pretty intense and people don't want you to talk to them during mm-hmm. the match. So, you know, but anyway, we did the best we could and we planted seeds along the way and God did some cool things. But this one particular dad, we played with these guys and he yelled at his kid the whole time. That's not mm-hmm. unusual for kids' sports, but it was just making me so mad because I saw the kid just getting so discouraged, so distraught. And so to try to make up for his dad railing him every time he did something bad, I would walk behind the kid and say, "Hey man, you're a good guy. Hey, you can do better this next hole." So I found myself, you know, trying to make up the lack without the guts to confront the dad, mm-hmm. you know? So we make it through the round and I'm like, praise God, we made it through the round and prayed for the kid. And so about 2 years later, we look at our pairing for this, and it was like for this big tournament final pairing, and it's this guy again, and it's Mad Dad. And I'm like, oh no, it's Mad Dad. It's Mad Daddy's back. And I said, I can't handle this, man. So I asked Laura and a few friends, pray for me. I got to keep it self-controlled. So I'm thinking more about myself, like
right.
just me being holy and not blowing it as a pastor. You know, I just didn't want to yell at the guy or lose it. You know, for the sake of the people that I shepherd, you know, and we kind of walk up to the tee box. And I felt like the Lord said, "What if you turn this and look to their needs? Don't just try to bear it and make it. What if you try to best?" So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to double invest in the kid, right? So we get to the first hole. The kid flubs a putt, and I'm like, "Bracing, here we come." Mm-hmm. I'm going to go straight to the dad and try to deflect or do something. And the dad says, "Hey, buddy, I'm so sorry. You know, hey, we'll get him next time." And I'm like, whoa, wait. We get the second hole, same kind of thing. And the dad's like encouraging. And the kid's actually like, I've yelled at Caleb for things, or Daniel yelled, just be careful, you guys, not yelled, but got intense with him. And I'm like, whoa. So we get to the third hole. And I'm like, this dude has changed. And so I'm just making little comments along the way. Yeah. Hey, way to go, Dad, or you know, this, that, or the other. So we get to the last hole, and what they do is a lot of times you finish on the far end of the course, so you ride back holding onto the back of the golf cart. So me and the dad are holding the back of the golf cart. I said, we'll just call him John. I said, "Hey, John, I just want you to know, man, today was amazing. Mm. I said, I just was amazed at, you were so encouraging. I said, to be honest, I was a little anxious about this because, you know, I know that you've had some struggles with anger. And he said, really, did you see it? Did I do good? Did I do good? And there's this 50-year-old man saying, did I do good? Yeah. I said, you did so good, man. And then I went through, and hole one, you did this, and hole six.
Wow.
And he's just beaming and tears coming in his eyes. And he kept saying this phrase, did I do good? Hmm. Did I do good? This successful business guy in his 50s wanted to know. And then he said, could you tell my wife that I did good when we get back to the clubhouse? Uh-huh. And I said, of course I'll tell your wife you did good. And we ended up praying together, having this beautiful moment together. And what I realized is that the power of encouragement turns the tide. And we would see this other kid end up playing college golf. We even saw him in college. Every time I see this guy, beeline to me. Hey, Pastor, thank you so much. And he would just go on and on about this life-changing moment because I recognized something good in his life.
Wow.
Right? And I thought, what if I just would have said, I'm just going to grin and bear it and not look at the opportunity?
So that's amazing. I love hearing that story. And that's really meaningful. I'll tear up now. It's really meaningful to me because I think I had heard you share that story a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it just one of those that stuck in my mind. Right. So a few weeks ago, I am at a birthday party for one of our kids.
Right.
Dad from the basketball team is there. And he had been an encourager during the season.
Right.
You could hear him loud over everyone. And I thought about that story you told me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna tell this guy, hey, he did a good job as a dad. So I started sharing that with him, and things shift very quickly, and he begins to open up about his entire life, much more than I thought we were going off that simple encouragement.
Right.
And we get into that he is searching for God. He knows he needs help. Yeah. He feels like he's a terrible father.
Yeah.
And the encouragement opened a way for me to be able to minister to him, to encourage him, to follow up with him. But it came because I'd heard you lead out in the example of, hey, what's the gold you can call out in somebody else, even in those difficult situations?
Sure.
And so this is not planned or scripted with what we had on the docket for today, but I just wonder if the Holy Spirit wants to encourage all of us wherever we are, that just like Jesus was walking by the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that we who have experienced Jesus walking by us, now God wants to use us
to walk by
others
in
their disappointment, in their distraction, in their spiritual blindness, and God would work through us, even as imperfect vessels that we are, to help them have those Emmaus road type experiences on golf courses, at birthday parties, in schools, in nations, wherever you might be. Yeah. Wherever you find yourself today. What would you say that, Jimmy?
Yeah. So it says that Jesus looked on the multitudes with compassion, like they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And when Jesus looked, that word compassion means to suffer with. So the word passion, like the passion of Christ, we just celebrated that at Easter, is the suffering of Christ for his passion for us out of his deep sacrificial love. So passion is not just what am I excited about, it's what I'm willing to suffer for, right? So the passion of Jesus. So then compassion is suffering with people, getting in their pain and walking alongside them. This is the gospel, right? Lived out in our lives. So every time we come alongside of somebody in their struggle, it creates their ability to feel, and taste Jesus, even if they can't see him. Mm. There's so many different stories that I think about, but again, I think that sometimes we relegate the stories of deep compassion to the mission trip that happened among the poor. And please do that, because that actually activates your faith to do it in your daily life.
Right.
But we really purpose to kind of operate and come alongside people every day of where we went, and that's how we trained our kids. So one of the things that Laura would do is in our car, she had little Ziploc baggies where she had toothbrush, toothpaste, snacks, and an apple. And she had like 12 of these packs. So every time we would pull up to the corner where somebody was asking for food, whether they deserved it or not, whether there was a scam or whether it was a real thing, we'll let God deal with what is, you know, sort everybody out. But as a general rule, of course they're needy and yeah. they need compassion. So Laura would hand that out. Or she would always teach the kids, if we were in a parking lot and somebody was struggling getting their groceries, all right, kids, we're all going to go over here and help the person with the groceries. Or if there's someone in a wheelchair, we would stop and we would, you know, help them or whatever. Laura was always so good about the thousand acts of kindness. And what that does is that leaves a trail of grace every day. Mm-hmm. So no matter how much personal struggle we're going through, every act of kindness creates an act of grace. We were just on the plane the other day and leaving Waco. And, you know, people get a little frustrated on the hopper flights when they're late. I can be one of those people, but I choose early.
You're asking for a friend. Yeah.
Yes. And there was a friend, actually we had known his parents when he was born. There was a life and death situation, this young man, and he was taken to the NICU, and it was life or death. We fasted and prayed for 3 days for his resurrection, and he not only has lived, but now he's a young adult and married in our community, and he works at American Airlines.
Okay.
And he had told us the other day what they pay him per hour. Just, he's such a sacrificial, great attitude, great servant, and we thought, we need to talk to American Airlines, you know, boycott them for what they're paying him per hour. But he's such a great servant. So we're on the plane and we were just talking about what a great guy is and how grateful we are for him and musing about, man, God delivered him and now he's such a godly young man and he's actually bringing peace to this place. And Laura said, do you have any cash? And I said, yeah, I think I have $100 bill. And she said, I feel like the Lord's saying that we're to write it on a note. And I'm like, we're seated, we got our seatbelts on, he's not gonna come on the flight. And she's like, look, you tell everybody to hear God. You share all your big stories, I'm obeying God.
Mm.
And you know, it's 6 a.m, I'm like, okay, you obey God. And so she writes a little note, puts $100 in it, and lo and behold, he walks on the plane for a double check. Like he's the front guy, he's not the attendant. Man. And she's like, I said, yes, ma'am. And so she goes and gives him the gift and the note. And I see him at church the next week, and he comes up to her just in tears. Hey, thank you for the love and the affirmation and the care. And it's one of those thousands of acts of kindness. It's what I love about my wife. Many things I love about her. But if every believer thought of themselves as an expression of Jesus, then whether your gift was helping someone across the street, giving a friend money in a moment, or caring for somebody, if that's your deal, or, you know, the more dramatic story where I had a prophetic word and it healed their past and it set their whole family on a trajectory, we wait for the big story and we miss the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a phrase right there.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for the big story, we miss the moment. And what happens is the little moments make the big story.
Yes.
So I would say every day we wake up, fill me, Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:10, God's given me good works to walk in today.
Yes. Yes.
So let us walk in today's good deeds.
Yep.
And then we have a story of a tapestry of the grace of God. So that when the big moment comes where we have to make a decision, do I stand up boldly and preach the gospel, or take the risk to pray for somebody sick in a unique situation, or what, or make a stand to defend someone in a very dramatic way, it's easy because we have a trail of obedience, not a moment of obedience. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's the invitation to all of us today, is that we don't want to miss Jesus. We don't want to miss being Jesus. So if I was to maybe wrap it up today, and I would say that maybe the way out of your, and not you, but if you're listening,
me too, sure.
Well, out of our addictions is to actually get our eyes on somebody else's need,
right,
and do something about it,
mm-hmm,
right? Maybe your way to a more healthy life,
mm-hmm,
of your view of yourself, your view of others, is to literally reach out to someone else. You know, a funny thing that people may not know about me, when I preach the gospel, I get encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it builds me up.
Yes.
When I preach, oh, that was good. Good job, preacher. You did a good job. And I need that affirmation. Just don't get me wrong. At the same time, I get encouraged by the revelation being spoken out.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I share the gospel with somebody, I believe the gospel again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I share the gospel consistently. It's this beautiful, multifaceted thing of God that every time I share the gospel, I believe the gospel more, but they get the power of God.
Yeah.
They get helped and I get hope.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way you say it. Yeah.
Well, I just thank you and Laura for modeling this way of living for our local church family, for the broader church family, that mm-hmm, this is a way of life that y'all have lived. So thank you for modeling that before our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about union, communion, and partnership, this is the partnership, is
yeah,
that we together are saying, hey, Jesus has revealed himself to us for reasons that we didn't deserve at all, but
right,
he has in his grace.
Yeah.
And we want to partner together in being a part of other people encountering his love and grace and kindness on their road to Emmaus,
mm-hmm,
and that's before us all. So thank you for doing that, and I think that's the partnership
yeah,
that we're talking
can
about.
Can I add one other thing before we wrap up? And
yeah,
again, if you're still hanging in there, hang in there, because this
keep
is...
keep your run going. Add a couple minutes to your run.
Yeah, a couple minutes to your run. So here it is. Is, okay, I think through my day today,
mm-hmm,
right? So I woke up, spent some time with Jesus, read my Bible, prayed a little bit, and my son was in the kitchen, and my adult son, and I said, you know, I could take 15 minutes here and engage him, or I could be too busy for my day to not stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt nudged to stop. Powerful conversation that I think is going to be super meaningful, that was needful,
yeah,
right? Or Alejo's, my new cameraman, hey, Leo.
Alejo!
We just paused for a minute to talk about you were feeling sick, and we talked a little bit. We shared the scriptures. We prayed for you. But we could have said, hey, he's the camera guy, and we just need to get on with this thing. But we would have missed an opportunity to love a brother and to be connected. Or, you know, you and I the other day talking about one of your kids' struggles, mm-hmm, while you're trying to help me do something. Every interaction is a two-way street. It's not just getting your deal done. It's you're serving and being served. And this is how the kingdom works. So I'm about to go to lunch and about to meet with this couple, and we're gonna lean in, how are you doing? How's your family doing? What's going on? Laura had said, hey, I need to talk about something tonight, but we've got a full night late into the night with some other beautiful things we're gonna be a part of. So I said, okay, I had appointment canceled. Let's you and I go for a walk, and I'm gonna listen and not lecture.
That'd be a marriage song.
That's a whole marriage song.
Marriage pod,
yeah,
Monday.
Or I've got different meetings today that I prayed over. But when I walk into the meeting, I'm not just thinking, how do I get my deal done? I'm thinking two-way.
Mm.
What is the need in the room? And of course, what do we need to accomplish? But God, Jesus constantly paused,
yeah,
throughout the scriptures. He was, if there's anybody who's on a mission, it was Jesus. But his mission had a dance to it. And maybe we'll wrap up with this. May we enter that dance of Jesus,
amen,
and walk in a giving and receiving relationships with others so that we can not just see Jesus, but so that we can be Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. For more information, please visit jimmyseibert.com and antioch.org. We'll see you next time.